Praying for the help of the Holy Spirit, I would direct you to the book of Hebrews, the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 4, and verses 9, 10, and 11. Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 9, 10 and 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Hebrews 4, verses 9, 10, and 11. The words in particular that are upon my mind is in verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. It is only those, it says, to the people of God. Those that have left the world and all its joys, all its gilded toys, those that have been called by free and sovereign grace, it says here in this text, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, called to be followers of Christ, caused to be saved. And who are these people? Who are they? We find in Psalm 107 where he speaks of four types of characters. Those that wandered in the wilderness, and then those that rebelled against God, being held in affliction and iron. And then it says fools. And how we find that those fools, because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, they are afflicted. And then we read of the mariners, the sailors who were storm-tossed, who went out into the very deep, all of these characters, and you'll find that all of these characters are in your own heart. Doesn't this show that the free and sovereign grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we find that it says, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Free and sovereign grace. I have ample, abundant evidence in my heart that if the Lord had not chosen me, I would never have chosen him. Can you say that? Can you say that feelingly within your own heart, in the realization of your sinnership, in the realization and in a disclosure of that which is within your own soul, in native corruption within your own heart, the Lord has pierced the darkness of your mind. The Holy Spirit bringing to the light your sinnership and creating within your heart a holy desire. Mark what I say. A holy desire within your very heart. Without the work of the Holy Spirit, where would you be? Where would I be? I daily find it so. Yes, I do. Daily. The old man of sin, those besetting sins, how they increase in measure, and how you feel the weakness within your own heart. And isn't there an examination? You have to examine yourself in the light of God's word, in the light of his teaching you personally. It's a personal religion. And as we get older, and how some of you are like myself, past the 70s, some older, how that you feel your strength decreases rather than increases. That little hope in Christ, how it seems to be hidden, how it seems to be overcome by the very worldly nature which is within your heart. And as we come now to what we hope, dependent upon the Lord, to look at these words, there remaineth therefore a rest or to the people of God. As Paul opened this, he said in the very first and second verse of this chapter, he said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It says in the margin, because they were not united to faith, by faith. All the evidence we have You can preach the gospel. You can speak to others. And I'm not only speaking of ministers of the gospel, but I'm also speaking to those that may not be a minister. And you may have inquiries. You may have one may speak to you, and they may seem to be sincere. And they may ask you concerning your faith, concerning your hope. And they may ask you, what is it you believe? And you may try to tell them. But you find that they say, they go away and say, well, think about it. We'll think about it. But there is not that faith. There is not that sincere desire within their heart. And others, and you've probably met them as well as I have, that they seem to have show an evidence of life. They may show that desire. They may come to chapel. They may go with you to chapel. And you may feel that there's a work of grace within the heart, and you may bear them up before the throne of grace. Now be careful. Be careful. When you're praying for such souls, is there sometimes a barrier at the throne of grace? Is there sometimes a check in prayer and you feel you can't get through? You can't get through this barrier before the Lord at the throne of grace. And it tries you. They may have even asked you to pray for them. And when you go to prayer before the Lord, you've got this barrier. You can't understand it. You cannot find freedom at the throne of grace. Yet you feel you must pray for them because they've asked you to pray for them. But this barrier. And you can't get through it. And there is that cry to the Lord. You have to tell him the whole case. Now watch. Watch. No need for you to say anything. It behoves you to walk before them. If they make an inquiry, if they have that inquiry, it behoves you to answer them. But there are those secrets locked up in your heart, which you cannot divulge to them. Why? Because there is not an opening. I've no doubt some of you, or perhaps there have been those times when you may meet a complete stranger. Complete stranger. And immediately there is that conversation. I remember once in my own case where I went to visit someone in a home. Not one of our homes. But I met a young lady there, hadn't seen her, didn't know anything about her. And you know, she opened her heart to me. She told me everything, I say everything, concerning her exercises. And I didn't say very much at all. But it was about a quarter of an hour. And now, you see, I was supposed to visit someone. And had this conversation. And she said, I don't even know you. I said, why have I told you all this? I've met her and her husband in chapels. But you see, there has been that knitting of heart, and is still there in my heart. Now, I mention that case in illustration in what I'm trying to say concerning this other character. There is, as I said, there is that, not that freedom at the throne of grace. And this tries you. It tries a child of grace. Yes, it does. It tries a minister. Yes, it does. In preaching. But you see, you may be deceived, but the Lord is not deceived. Now, it's not for us to judge. Not for us to sit in judgment of any person. I'm only speaking to you of that which has come to my mind since I've been in this pulpit, had no thought of speaking such things. But you'll find that as you go on, that there is not that faith. There is not that faith mixed with that which they've heard. There is not that living desire. And the time may come when you may see that they manifest that there is not that living desire within their heart. The gospel has no attraction for them. Oh, how Paul, when he came and he went to Athens, how he spoke of that unknown God whom ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. But what did they say at the end? Some seem to have an interest, and others said, we will hear thee again in this matter. Others spoke of him as a babbler. You see, Paul preached the gospel to them. He preached that which was laid upon them, but it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, this is a trial to the child of grace. It's not a trial to those that have not got this faith. This is not the trial to them. But it's a trial to the child of grace. Have I got faith? Have I got faith? Am I really in the right way? Am I really a child of grace? Why? Because they see so much within their heart that is not of grace. They know, as I read concerning those in Psalm 107, the wanderers, the rebels, the foolish ones, and how each one, you see, that they, how they came off of their own works. They came off of their own beliefs. They came off of everything of themselves. Now that's the difference. That's the difference between those that have the faith of God implanted within their hearts, a good hope through grace, and those that walk in a path, not being mixed with faith. It might profit us, it will profit us if it's of the Lord, to look into this faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to enter into this rest. I've probably spoken to you before on this matter. I must have done over the period of years. Oh, this faith. How many years when I read the scriptures. I wonder if there are any of you here, whether there you have something in your heart which you cannot understand, something that, as it were, it drags you down, something which you feel is lacking in your own spiritual exercises. And also, I will mention this, that God's people, they are subject to all the maladies, all the illnesses, all the calamities which befall the people of the world. They suffer the same things as the people of the world. When there is drought, you suffer as a result of that drought. And there is that great question within your heart. Why do the Lord's people suffer? They pray, they seek the Lord, they search diligently for him, and they come into all of these troubles that the world come into. But there's a difference. There is a difference. And I never forgot, and I still think of it at times, when Mr. Walder, speaking a number of years ago at Carshorton, probably 20, 25 years ago, haven't forgotten it. He'd just been to visit a friend in hospital. He was dying. And if he had the same malady, I know not, as the person that was in the bed opposite him, and this person was dying also. And as pastor, Mr. Walder, he visited this friend of his. Oh, there was that grace. There was that submission to the will of God, and his conversation and his desire for Christ in all his suffering. Opposite that man, he was cursing and swearing and all manner of evil upon his bed. That's the difference. That's the difference. Grace makes the difference. I know that we're not always under grace. I know that. I know that we each have our personalities. Yes, we do. But follow a child of grace to the time when he confesses or she confesses before the Lord at the throne of grace. We're not to judge. We cannot judge. And I do know, and I mention this, that maybe some amongst God's people, that due to drugs and that sort of thing, in their illnesses, there may be those hallucinations, there may be all manner of things that take place. We have to leave that. The Lord looks at the heart. But having said these things, have we that living faith within our heart? As I said before, I, as it were, brought in these other things, that was a great thing with me. Have I got faith? Oh, how I searched the scriptures, and when I came and read, these all died in faith. How it entered into my heart. Why? Because I couldn't see where I had faith. I couldn't create faith. And you've probably heard the conversation amongst the people of God, and where there may be some poor thing walking in darkness, walking in a path where they cannot see anything, where they have no light, and they suffer from the separation of God. They feel they've got nothing. And as they walk in that path, someone may say to them, "Where's your faith?" See what I mean? Don't need to say any more, do I? Where's your faith? And that poor thing, they feel they've got no faith at all. But they are walking in darkness, dependent upon their God. If you get close to such characters, they will tell you that they have nowhere else to go. It says here that in our text, they've ceased from their own works as God did from his. They say, if he fails me now, I'm finished. You've got no hope in yourself. Your hope is in another, in Christ. Now this faith, I know, we all know, concerning natural faith. There is natural faith. And natural fear is faith in something which is opposite to hope. Job said, that which I greatly feared is come upon me. But this true and living faith, which proceeds from God alone, that's what a child of grace receives in their heart. I tell you, they have many fears. But have you got that living faith? Now you may have been in great darkness. You may have been and in a great burden within your heart due to your sins. Sin is a burden. And you know that may only be in the eyes of the world something which, if you was to tell them, they say, well, are you concerned over that? Concerned over that? Maybe only a little thing in the eyes of the world, but in your eyes, it's a great burden. Yes, it is. And you feel as the under the teaching of the Holy Spirit, you come down and down that you are a sinner and there is no hope for you. In measure, you come into these powers where you feel within your heart there's no hope. Why? Why? Because you have not got that which the lost people have. I've already touched this point this morning. This is the concern of a child of grace. Am I a child of grace? Am I one of God's people? And this, what does it, if this is working rightly with you, I'll tell you what happens. It drives you to the throne of grace. And there is that inquiry within the heart. Yes, there is. And there are many things that come into the heart of a child of grace. There seem to be, as I'm preaching to you, hosts of things, unbelief. Is there really a God? Oh, how that affects the child of grace. Is there really a God? Is this path which is preached, is this path really the truth? And so on and so on and so on under all these things. And as I said, the weight of the burden of sin within your heart. Now, when you come finished, working in your own salvation, free and sovereign grace. Ezekiel speaks of this, where he said, when I passed by thee, cast out into the open field, when thou was in thy blood, I passed by thee and said, live. The very life of Christ within the heart. It is that divine Holy Spirit working within your heart, creating within your heart that holy principle. That holy seed within your very soul, which causes all of these feelings, which causes this reaching out and seeking the Lord for your salvation. I'm speaking of this first, there's a providential side as well. But to have that holy desire. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. That is a desire within the soul. And then, when Christ appears, when Christ touches your heart and you have that little hope within your soul. Why do I say little hope? It may be a little hope to you in comparison to the volumes which others may have received. That little hope within your heart, and with that little hope, whereas before there was tumult, before there was despair, before there was great fear, there was before that feeling within your heart that you're lost to all hope, and then to have that hope in Christ. Now that little hope is greatest of all, because you can't create it. That's what I'm saying to you. No great vision. No great manifestations, but that which you receive within your heart is a great manifestation, to have the peace of Christ within your very soul. See the change. That hope, in that little hope, is good hope. In that little hope, there is faith. Now that is faith. That is faith. Implanted by God within your very heart. That is faith. That peace within your very soul. Now, we read in Galatians of the fruits of the Spirit. This is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Peace within your very soul. And how do you know? I say to you, how do you know that peace is the peace of God? I'll tell you why. And how you will know, because when that wanes, when it is, as it were, it departs from you, when you no longer feel it, I ask you one question. Can you create it? That peace of Christ within your very soul, can you create it? It is by these opposites that you will know. Now, when you were in that peace, there was that love flowing over your soul. You felt that love within your heart, joined with peace. That little hope in joy. That sacred joy. Now all of these things, we hear of peace in the world. We hear of love in the world. We hear of joy in the world. But none of them are to be compared with that love, peace, and sacred joy in Christ. This is, if you will receive it, this is the commencement of this rest in Christ. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. That rest. Do you know a little of that rest? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Faith. Now we read here, and the path is strewn with many rocks. The path is strewn with many signposts, I would say, which point in a wrong direction. And as you walk in these paths, as you go on, you will find this, that in ourselves we are prone to depart, not willingly. Often we are go into bypath meadow without realizing where we're going. I'm not speaking of willfulness, because you'll find that in your heart. And I'm not speaking of rebellion. I'm speaking of this, where a child of grace, it says, though fools. And as we read in Isaiah, he speaks of those, the wayfaring man, wayfaring women, though fools, shall not err therein, kept by the power of God. Now we see here that this faith that is spoken of is mixed and is associated with that love. And as I've spoken of those attributes, of those fruits of the Spirit, they're joined together. But all the warnings, how Paul speaks of it, and how again I say to you here, how that a child of grace, they fear. A child of grace, they can see their own character in the Word of God. And that's when the Bible reads you. These other characters who have not got this faith in their heart, they can read the Scriptures and have an intellectual knowledge of the Scriptures. They can quote one Scripture after another and so on. But is it in the heart? When the Word of God reads you, you'll find it imprinted within your heart. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity which is love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And as he goes on, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Amen.